Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y, and my name is Gabrielle. One day, I will get the volume on this microphone sorted. I've done this podcast for about 3 years now, and I still have issues with this damn thing. Anyway, I'm sorry. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about urban legends during the 80s and 90s. And this kind of spurred out of, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos with people posting scary videos and everything, and you can just sit there and you're watching it. Just to put it out there, I do believe in ghosts. I do believe that there is something. I have experienced things that kind of made me question. I'm not one of those people, though, that every single creak and sound and shadow I see, I will immediately say it's a ghost. That is not how I am. So watching these videos and the people who debunk the videos, I find fascinating. So, and I find enjoyable, because then you can sit there and be like, yeah, okay. Or that was questionable, or, you know. Anyhow, so urban legends. I had to do research, like what legends were specific for the 80s and 90s, because I grew up during that time. I didn't realize that it was, I feel like you can hear the creaking of these headphones. I either have to get new headphones, or I had to put WD-40 on them, so I apologize. So I had to do some research, because you grow up with stuff, you don't necessarily realize that, like, oh, wait a minute, this actually came out that time, this is new, this is brand new, this isn't 20 years old, or this isn't something that's from, like, you know, a long time ago. So here are a few examples, and ones that, like, if I've actually experienced it or saw it or just real knew about it. Bloody Mary. So I never really did it, because it did actually, because mirrors actually do kind of freak me out a little bit. You stare at yourself long enough in a mirror, and I don't know if it's just the fact that you're, you know, waiting for that, because seeing so many horror films, you're just waiting for that reflection to turn and do something else, or just transform into a complete monster. So I tend to just, one, I don't like looking at myself in the mirror, but also I tend to just be like, okay, I think we're done looking now, and just move on. So I didn't do Bloody Mary, because it did freak me out, that idea, you know. I enjoyed, though, the Supernatural episode about Bloody Mary. That was within the first season. It was when the seasons were good. No offense to those who love Supernatural, but 15 seasons and them dying and coming back and the end of the world and not the end of the world and God, no God, devil, no devil, who's a devil, who's a demon, who's not a demon, who's a vessel, who's not a vessel, it, you know, it's a little much. As much as I love, there are episodes even in the last couple of seasons that were well done. But for the most part, it was just like, okay, it's just a lot of recycled stuff that it definitely needed to end. And the original Supernatural was supposed to only be 5 seasons. If you go into my blog about the top 5, I think, episodes for Supernatural, I kind of go into it a little bit more. But yeah, when they did the original ones, when they were doing all about, like, you know, urban legends, or, you know, vampires and werewolves and, you know, all the supernatural stuff, I loved it. And I loved Dean and Sam. I love them. I love Jensen, and I love Jared. Yes. So if you go check out that Supernatural episode, that was cool. And so yeah, Bloody Mary, did you do that? Like, I know when people would have slumber parties. I think I only slept over 2 people's houses, because I never did very well sleeping over. I'm not a very good sleeper, especially when I was younger. I used to have night terrors, which means, if you've not heard of that, it was when you would usually go for, like, younger kids who would get up screaming, running around. They're not fully awake. It's kind of like sleepwalking, but, you know, I was told by my doctor it was because I was getting migraines. I don't think that's the case, because when I did realize I had migraines, that's not how I felt, and I didn't have that happen again. So I don't know. So yeah, sleeping over people's houses was not, like, something I did. But I understand that that's something that people would do, like a dare, you know. Did you do that? I didn't. And I wasn't going to dare myself to do it, because there's no way in hell I would have done it. Next one was Killer in the Back Seat. To this day, I always look into my back seat. I turn the light on just to be sure that there's no one there to murder me. That and people following me when I drive, because that was another thing, like a phantom truck. I think that's older. That's not something that was from during the 80s and 90s, but like the phantom vehicle who would, like, you know, come after you and, like, make you veer off the road and have an accident. They did that in Supernatural as well. So the whole concept of killer in the backseat, it's a woman drives alone at night and a mysterious vehicle keeps flashing its headlights at her. She panics, only to later discover a man with a knife was hiding in her backseat. Her quote-unquote stalker was actually trying to save her. That is the basis of the story. I don't know where it originated from. I could probably do more research. There is the internet and Google it. So the killer in the backseat story, also known as High Beams, is an urban legend, and its exact origin is not definitively known. It's speculated to have been inspired by a real-life case from 1964 when an escaped murderer hid in the backseat of a car, but the details don't perfectly match the legend. The story gained wider circulation in the late 1960s and may have been popularized by an article in the advice columnist Ann Landers in 1982. So that's where the 80s comes into play, where it just gained a notoriety during the 80s. And it's an urban legend that's both in the U.S. and the U.K., so that's interesting. I find that, you know, also known as high beams. It's another one, which I know that a couple of YouTubers have made mention when I was watching them. During the 80s and 90s, there was a thing called Satanic Panic, where during the 80s, we saw a widespread paranoia that rock and metal bands were inserting satanic messages into their music when played backwards. Some parents even believed D&D was linked to Satanism, which... I watched another YouTuber who did a whole thing where there was like a movie based on D&D players, and it was like a religious type of thing where they were saying that the D&D that was Satanism right there. You playing Dungeons and Dragons was Satanism. I find it really hilarious when you have something that you can classify just about everything that we have as something that could be sinful or satanic if you are looking at it through a very, very specific lens. And that's where religion comes into play. Religion is a specific lens to which you are applying things to normal day-to-day life because you are following some tome or commandments and or whatever it is, and morality, which I do believe in morality, don't get me wrong, that you are following in order to reach heaven or that seventh layer of whatever, depending on what you believe in. And I don't mean any disrespect. I don't want to say this offhandedly. I know people have a very strong belief system and there are people who don't have a strong belief system. I grew up in a Roman Catholic family and I went to a Roman Catholic school and I had gotten all of my sacraments up to and including confirmation. So I pretty much completed everything other than matrimony and my last rites. So I'm not practicing, and I do have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with religion in general. So excuse me and I apologize if you fully believe it. That, you know, I have no problem with people. That's fine. You know, it's just not for me. And that's fine too, right? Opinions and ideas can be differing between you and I and you and the next person. We should all remember that. Anyhow, so there are hidden messages in the music. I know that was a bit during the 90s specifically when they were doing the CDs and people were buying these CDs for their kids and then realizing that the music was having like curse words in it or questionable statements that they didn't want their, you know, tween or younger kid to be listening to. And they didn't have those warnings on them at the time. So I know that was a huge thing too, that they, so the parent was able to see right off that, oh, it's has an explicit warning on here. Therefore, their kid cannot listen to it, or they're aware, but they're doing it anyway, sort of thing. So I don't know if it stemmed from that, but I know it was part of the whole when it came to specific music. I think even there are, I think it was the Duggars, the kids were like, you can't listen to anything with a drum beat because drums are sinful. Take that with what you will. But I listen to all types of music, even explicit music. You know, do I worship Satan? No. You have to believe in it to worship it, correct? So anyhow, so yeah, Satanic Panic, that even actually bled into the early 2000s. with that, for people really being, yeah, panicky, paranoid about, like, just Satanism running wild in the woods, you know, and, like, anything surrounding their place. It was kind of crazy. People, it was almost like a modern day witch hunt type of thing, just kind of going after specific things that they believed to be satanic. But that's, you know, again, you have to believe in it in order for it to be of something. Like, you understand, my thought process is that you believing in it and you giving it life is what makes it real. So if you don't believe in it, then therefore it does not have its own life and it is not real. It's not, it has not been made real because it's not made real within yourself. So that's me. Number four. So kidney heist. Now this is like something that kind of, I remember more in the 90s. I don't know if that was something that stemmed out of the 80s or not, but a traveler wakes up in a bathtub full of ice, only to find a note telling them to call 911 because their kidney had been stolen by organ traffickers. Yeah, there was like a huge like black market thing. Now, I don't know how frequently that happened, but that was I know that it had happened. There have been cases that happened. But it was like, I don't know how frequently it happened to the point where you're like, do I need to really be watching my kidneys and my other organs and stuff? I highly doubt anybody would want my kidneys, but I'm just saying it's a scary thought where you're just going along your day, not thinking too much of it, and then all of a sudden you're whacked over the head and then organs taken from you. It's just all of this stuff, the legends behind it are all things that are we fear. And maybe that fear wasn't necessarily something that we thought about until, of course, the story came out. And then you're like, oh my God, here's something else that I've got to be afraid of or I got to be worried about. It's all about making it real. But stuff like this, there are horrible people in this world and they are looking to do horrible things. So yes, always pay attention to your surroundings. Always turn your light on in your car to make sure there's nobody in the back seat. You don't know. You really don't know. So just, you know, keep you, you know, aware. That's all. The Hook Hand Killer. So, you know, multiple movies, and another Supernatural episode to boot, had to do with the Hook Hand Killer. Now, it's the classic story. It's a classic Lover's Lane story where a couple hears about an escaped killer with a hook for a hand, then flees in terror, only to later find a bloody hook hanging from their car door. So, it's in the Supernatural version, it was because it was driven by anybody who was doing more, like, say if the girl didn't want to move to the next phase of their relationship and the guy was pushing about it. And the girl's like, no, no, no. And that's when the Hook Hand Killer would come into existence and take out the guy because he shouldn't have been doing that. Or it could have very well been in other stories where it didn't matter. They just kills both of them. You know, just don't be up here. Where the hook part came, I think that was just for the horror faction of it. But the story for Supernatural, the hook part was because the guy who became that hook hand killer lost his hand and he made a silver hook out of silver artifacts within a church or something like that. And that's how his spirit was tied to it and all that. Again, good episode. Like I said, first season, I think, is chef's kiss. Very good. Check it out if you haven't. And of course, like, I think I Know What You Did Last Summer was a hook hand thing. So I Know What You Did Last Summer draws inspiration from that urban legend with the hook, a creepy tale of hook-wielding maniac. I've seen that movie maybe once. I'm not a huge horror fan. My mom and my brother love horror movies. My friend also loves horror movies. This is the thing, like, I have a very vivid imagination, and I know that it sounds ridiculous as a 42-year-old person, like, that I could still have nightmares, but if you get immersed enough in a movie, it stays with you, and especially if you have an overactive imagination like myself, like, it's just like, I'd rather just be able to go to sleep at night and be cool with it, you know. And I also do not like, I know this is, we're talking about urban legends, but I also don't like the movies that are literally just there to be gory. Like, let me just slice off some appendage and like stick a, you know, knife through somebody's face and we have to see all of that. I don't find that entertaining at all. I find it disgusting and I find it just grotesque. Like, I don't necessarily, I don't need to see that. Like, why am I paying money to see this? I'm not gaining any enjoyment out of this at all. I know people like those things, fine. But for me, no. The only semi-horror movies that I like are the psychological thrillers. You're not actually seeing anything. You're not actually getting, like, appendages, like, ripped off or torn apart or stabbed a million times. It is all, I think they're even worse. Like, you actually watch that, you are left to your own imagination. Unless you have a shitty imagination, you are left with your own imagination to come up with that scary thing that they're talking about or they're alluding to. And a good movie that does actually show some, like, ghostly things, that but also a psychological thing, is The Changeling. Excellent movie. I suggest checking that out. Excellent. I think I had that on my blog about, like, psychological thrillers to check out. Check that blog out if you want to see what the stuff that I actually liked The Conjuring. And there were some, you know, some gory parts and some, like, straight up, like, jump scares and whatever. But I did like that because it was a nice blend. I very, just the first one. I didn't, not the rest of them, just the first one. But that's me. If you want to get horror stuff, I'm sure there's a podcast out there about horror stuff. Go for it. There's plenty of them out there. I just don't like them. All right, so this is Polybius, Polybius. It's the Haunted Arcade Game. I never heard of this, but like I said, I had to do research on just to see if there's other ones, because I heard of these other ones. I think I've heard of every single one of them except for that one. It's a supposed government experiment mysteriously appeared in the early 80s, causing nightmares, seizures, brainwashing before vanishing without a trace. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it, but I went into it and I was just like, what is this? So it can refer to multiple things. An ancient Greek historian, a purported urban legend about terrifying arcade game and video game inspired by that legend. The urban legend is purported from 1981. And the legend describes the game as a part of a government-run crowdsourced psychology experiment based in Portland, Oregon. Do you notice that stuff happens in, like, the out west, like the west coast, specifically Oregon? Is it, like, creepy out there? I've never been out that way. I've seen pictures. It looks beautiful. I would love to go. But if they have all of these weird urban legends and killers and stuff, I don't know if I'd stay that long, even with all of the beautiful scenery. So the gameplay supposedly produced intense psychoactive and addictive effects in the player. These few publicly staged arcade machines were said to have been visited periodically by men in black for the purpose of data mining the machines and analyzing these effects. Supposedly, all of these Polybius, I'm just going to say it that way. If it's not, I'm sorry. Arcade machines then disappeared from the arcade market. This urban legend has persisted in video game journalism and through continued interest, and it has inspired actual video games of the same name. So you could probably find ones out there that are inspired by this, which I found interesting. So the suffered from unpleasant side effects. Like I said, it was seizures, amnesia, insomnia, night terrors, and hallucinations. Approximately 1 month after its supposed release in 1981, Polybius is said to have disappeared without a trace. So it's only out for a very, very short amount of time. So the game has the same name as the classical Greek historian Polybius? Yeah. Born in Arcadia and known for his assertion that historians should never report what they cannot verify through interviews with eyewitnesses. Very important man. Very important. Because if you're just going to tell me stuff, that's all hearsay. That's not history. That's just you telling me something. So this guy, good on you. We still get shit like that, though. That was interesting, because I've never heard of it. It was in the early 80s, before I was born, and apparently it was only out for a month, so I would never have seen it if it did actually exist. But that's interesting. I found that one fascinating. Because when I started writing this, I'm like, urban legends. Like, how many did I actually... Because there were ones that were local to me. One being... It was the Atco ghost. I live in Jersey, so obviously the Jersey Devil. You know, that you can't even classify that as an urban legend. It's real at this point, how many people have seen it, and how I actually have a copy of an original pictorial map that was drawn, and it gave you all the different sightings throughout the tri-state area, like all the different states and all the different areas that the Jersey Devil had been sighted. So I have not seen the Jersey Devil, and I lived in the Pine Barrens. So did I leave myself out in the woods for very long at night? Not really, because it was creepy anyway. There were like, you know, you had other animals out there that and people are scary. So yeah, I didn't really test it out, to be honest. But yeah, I didn't see anything on that respect. But the Atco ghost, if you lived in the area, you were supposed to go down a specific road where it dead ends, and then you're supposed to flash your lights and then something else, and then you're supposed to be able to see a ghostly kid figure, I think. But you're doing it on private property. And I'm fairly certain there have been a few people who were chased out by it with somebody wielding a gun, because I'm sure the people get pissed off if your house is at that far end and you're just getting people flashing their headlights at you all the time. I'd be pissed off too. So I never actually did it, because I didn't want to get killed and be that ghostly apparition for somebody else later on. So, but I know a couple people who did do it, and they claim to have seen something. I don't know. So, yeah, so urban legends, wherever you are, I'm sure there are ones in your vicinity that you also have from when you were growing up, because they just sprout up. People just come up with these stories, or people just think they saw something and it just becomes an urban legend. It's fascinating. Next one. The cursed VHS tapes and chain letters. So this is kind of like a The Ring type of thing, where you watch the VHS or you read a letter, and if you watched it, it brings death within a few days. So like the Ring, and then they watch the weird ass VHS tape, and then they get a call and they're like, 7 days. Yeah, like that. Chain letter and emails. So granted, this was early days of emails, and like you would get these stupid emails that was just like, if you don't share with 50 people, which I never knew that many people, so I'm never going to share it, like, you were going to die a horrible death, or you will never have luck with money, or if you don't say amen in 5 seconds, the Lord's going to smite you, like something like that. So if you don't send to a dozen people, you're cursed. So the only thing that anytime I see these things, and I see people post this stuff even on Facebook nowadays, where they're like, if you share this with 10 people and you'll get something. So they go with like, if you do this, you'll get something good. They don't say, if you don't do this, something bad will happen. So it kind of like flipped a little bit, but it's the same concept. So if I don't do it, does that mean I'll have the opposite happen, or I'm just not going to have that good thing happen and my life will just continue on like it normally has? Then, okay. But anytime I think about like curses, I don't know if you guys watched, I love The Mummy, obviously, with Brendan Fraser. That movie's great, by the way. But The Mummy 2, which was not as good as the first one, but at least it still had Rachel Weisz. Is that her name? Yeah, Rachel Weisz. Weisz? I don't know how to say her last name. She's beautiful, by the way. She looks good for her age. My goodness. She's married to Daniel Craig. I did not know that. Good for her. Anyhow, so in The Mummy 2, there's a line when they're on, it was these two, one of the two like henchmen on the train as they're bringing the mummy to wherever. And he's like, what's with you and curses? This is cursed. That is cursed. I remember when my brother and I, we watched that, and that was just like, anytime we would be like, this is cursed. That is cursed. Anyway, I had to look that up to make sure I wasn't lying and what actual movie that came from. I also love her in Constantine, the one with Keanu Reeves. I loved the show too. Okay, so next, Mickey Mouse, and I don't, you know, I'll put this as explicit because I say curse words in it, but it's a Mickey Mouse suicide, the lost episode myth. So it's a creepy story spread about a lost black and white Mickey Mouse cartoon from the early days of Disney. Watching it supposedly drove people insane. And it was said to contain disturbing hidden messages, which if you look nowadays, there are apparently YouTube videos that you can watch, like cursed YouTube videos that if you watch them, you get driven insane, or strange things will start to happen to you. So that consistent theme of urban legend it's still around. So it's not like, it's not really, maybe back then it's like a new thing just because, you know, the internet gave us all these like broader avenues to travel down to find this stuff. So I've not seen this or know what it even looks like. I've heard of it before. And like I said, I've heard enough of the YouTube videos out there that are apparently like the same type of concept. What was that, like commercial or something? It was like a Japanese commercial or something with like the Kleenex. I don't know. I watched it. I'm okay, I think. And like, I'm not dead yet as far as I know. But yeah, some of them are, they are disturbing. Some of the stuff is disturbing just to look at it and like, what is happening? And two, why? Who did this? Who thought it could be an artsy thing? I don't know. Last but certainly not least, because there are a bunch of different things, but specifically, I wanted to kind of go into like the big ones that everybody would kind of remember, you know, during the 80s and 90s. I'm fairly certain there's a ton more that I'm missing. And also, like I said, local ones that you're like the Mothman prophecy, like the Mothman period, you know, stuff like that. And like cryptids, we could go into that. But like this, my son was asking me, he's like, so what's your next episode going to be about? I'm like, oh, urban legends. He's like, what, like cryptids? I'm like, not necessarily. I said stuff that specifically was supposed to have come out during the 80s and 90s, which I told him. So anyway, last but not least, it's the early internet horror. So omens of doom. Towards the late 90s, stories about black-eyed children, creepy kids with pure black eyes, who knocked on doors and asked to be let in, circulated online. So it's like Momo, that kind of went back around. That's not a new thing. The problem with the stuff that was coming out recently was that it was being sent by people and they were telling these kids to do stupid things. And that's the issue. So like in the original ones, it was just a story that was being passed around to creep people out. It wasn't having somebody to like, it was like not like a Slender Man type of thing where people were like going out and doing horrible things or having them do stuff. Like, don't be stupid. If you see stuff that comes through and people are telling you to do ridiculous stuff, don't do it. Don't read it. Block it. Delete it. Report it. I don't know. Just don't be, you have to have some common sense. Now, I understand a lot of it's like children or like preteens and stuff like that may not necessarily know, but I feel like in this day and age, especially with how advanced these kids are when it comes to like digital stuff, like you should know, but you're still a kid and maybe the parents should be like over their shoulder being like, what is this, what are you doing? At least to a degree. I'm not saying be a helicopter parent either, but you be careful. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'll get off of my little soapbox and ranting about it. My son, I will be completely, completely honest here. I was not a helicopter parent. I am not a helicopter parent. He's 18. He's an adult now. Whatever. But when he was little, I didn't police everything he watched. But I did see his history. It was on my own sign-in. He didn't have his own sign-in. He didn't have his own... Why these people are allowing their kids to have their own social media, I don't know. Like, especially under a certain age, like, if you're, like, 6 years old and you have your... I'm just going to use Facebook as an example. But if you have your own Facebook at 6 years old, like, come on now. It's just... Why? Go out. Play with your friends. You don't need to talk to them online. Just go the hell out. You have a phone. Text them. So... He doesn't have any social media presence. I think he has an Instagram that he started. He wants to do cosplay, and eventually he wants to get into that. And he has a lot of ideas. He's just like me, and it's just following through with getting stuff done. But we're, like I said, slowly but surely. And he doesn't really have like a social media presence. So everything that he used was under my name. So if anything, I would see everything that he's watching, and I would see everything that he's recording, because he would have his own little tablet that he would record himself. And it was just like, I'm glad he did that, because you could see like what his day was like. It would be just him showing like what he ate, what he's watching, what he's playing. He would show his Minecraft base that he created. That's fine. Now, I know like there are times when he was on Roblox and talking to people where you have to be like, who are you talking to? Do you know if it's actually a kid or it's to somebody else, you know? That was a little creepy. I didn't like it. I'm glad he got out of that fairly quickly. Yeah, that was a little bit of a moment where I'm like, should I ban this? Like, I don't, you know, I don't really like this. So, but thankfully, like I said, he didn't really stick with that for very long. It was like, I think it was like a good year where he was just like, he was really into it. And then he was like, meh, I'm gonna move on. I'm like, thank God. So be careful out there. So yeah, a lot of the early 90s circulation, or not early 90s, the early internet, so it was during towards the late 90s, were dealing with bad omens, things that would be emailed to you, messaged to you, or you would just see, and you're like, you know, that the black-eyed children, like I said, it's because when I originally saw them, like, wait a second, that was recent, but I'm like, no, I do kind of remember some of it. In the early 90s, or in the late 90s, when I, for my email, like, I would get stupid shit in there all the time. Half of it I just disregard, because I'm like, if it wasn't for something I was particularly looking for, I'm not reading it anyway. So just have that kind of mindset. Like, I ordered something, let me see my email, or I have a friend that's going to email me or something like that. Do people use, I mean, I feel like I use email every freaking day because I'm at work, and that's the main course of back and forth for approvals and stuff like that. So email is kind of like a mainstay. I feel like that will always be a mainstay or main form of communication, email versus the text and all that stuff. But I could be wrong. Things have changed. Things move on. Things evolve into something else. And, you know, I'll see it when I see it, I guess. But that's all I have written down. I know that there are plenty more out there. Originally, I was like, should I do two separate ones? Maybe I will. Maybe I'll do more. I was actually going to do one based off of childhood nightmares. A reoccurring nightmare. So I was going to do something like that, and it kind of ties in with it. But for the most part, it's not a... I wasn't sure if it was going to be long enough, because I have my own dreams. I don't know what you dreamt about, obviously. So I have my own dreams, but also I was going to like kind of delve deeper into like that psychological thing as a kid. So I don't know if you guys would be interested. This is why I'm talking about expanding it to have some nostalgia for it, obviously, and it kind of be surrounded by that nostalgia, but also kind of traveling down other aspects and avenues that aren't necessarily like all fun and games all the time. So I figure, like, you know, get some deeper ones in there, and then you'll have like the nice, like, I'm going to go into my top music list. I have like I said, I have like a bunch of different ideas, which I'm glad, because now I have, and I have them all outlined out for me to record them, because now I have a nice schedule going. These are going out on record on a Saturday. I edit and record on Saturday, edit the previous week and record the next week, and then Sunday post the current week, and then brainstorm ideas for another couple of episodes. So I have like 7 to 8 now ideas that I've been writing down, and I've been going through them. So I'm just trying to make sure that I have enough ideas to get me through, because I don't know. I originally had them as seasons, and I would give myself time off, which I may still do, where I might be like, okay guys, I'm gonna, like, 2 weeks we're not gonna be posting anything because I would like to focus on something else. I don't know, we'll see about that. But right now I have a good amount of stuff, and I have a good schedule going, and I have a good routine on the weekends, so that I don't have to worry about like the week when I'm at work and I'm like, I don't want to do anything when I get home from work. I don't know about you guys, but when I get home from work, it's like dinner and I just want to be a vegetable for the rest of the night, because I sometimes I'll write, and I also read. So that's that. I have a couple of questions. Obviously, I always put some questions at the end of the podcast to, you know, reach out to the audience to see if they're listening. No, I'm kidding. You know, what they thought, any ideas, please leave a comment. Now you can do that on Spotify. You can also do that on my YouTube channel, which has all of my podcast episodes up on there, and my website. I don't know if you can, I think you can comment underneath all of them, or if not, whatever. You can do it on Spotify or YouTube. I got my first comment. So thank you so much for the person who commented on the millennial and the generational separation episode. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I was like, oh my God, I got my first comment, guys. I was happy. So I'm glad like people are listening and enjoying it. So thank you so much. And so my question, did you experience any of these urban legends? Did you experience something? Did you do the Bloody Mary, like over doing it over sleepover? Or did you see this Mickey Mouse episode? Did you happen to watch it? Did you get any of these early internet horror omens of doom? And did you hear about the haunted arcade game? I did not know about that one. Like, I knew that there was something to do with like a haunted arcade game. I just didn't know about this particular one. So I just think that, I don't know if that's the original. Obviously, I don't know. You know, arcade games have only been out for so long. So is that the first? The Satanic Panic. Have you had anybody who you knew or you yourself. That may be your parents, somebody else's parents, or very much concerned about you playing D&D or listening to music with drums, or if you listen to it backwards, something's being said. I didn't have that. My mom was very much into music and all different types of music, especially growing up in the 60s and the 70s, like specifically the 60s. And my mom was a hippie. She was part of the United Tribes of Love. So she was very much open to a lot of that stuff. So I wasn't scrutinized to what I listened to. And I didn't have enough friends to play D&D, although I would have loved to play D&D. I still would love to play D&D, but I have no friends. Like, I do have friends, but they don't play D&D. So I need to find another group of friends that I can, like, do that, you know, besides my main friends that are, like, have always been around. So, like, since I met them. Does that make sense? Now I'm babbling. But, yeah, that's it. So if you have any other questions, comments, or even something to what I should, like, maybe look into. I don't know. I have, like I said, like 7 or 8 different ideas for the next episodes. I don't have them in any particular order. It's just as I feel the need. Like the one that I did about Delia's and how it was for me, that I came up with randomly on a day. And I said, I'm just going to do that one next. And these other ones, like this one was supposed to be my next one from the previous, but I'm like, I'm going to do that one first. So yeah. So if you have any ideas, anything that you would like me to, you know, talk about or from my perspective, obviously, because you can research it and, you know, you don't need to have me be the mouthpiece to talking about the same thing you're reading about on Google. But I'd be happy to do that, too. But it's just like it would be off of my perspective from when I was growing up, obviously, because that's the only perspective I would know. Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you'll check out all of the other episodes. Please give my Spotify a follow. I have still 41 followers. Please spread the word, share, you know, if you have anybody else that would want to listen to it. And if you want me to bring people in, I had my son on a previous one. Maybe I can get him to sit in on something. Maybe when it comes to, I don't know, I'll figure that out. Maybe music. And other movies, maybe like we can talk about remakes, like the ones that he's seen that are recent and the ones that were original from when I saw. I don't know. I'll figure something out. I don't really have a whole lot of people that I could go and like pull from. So it's just me talking into a mic about stuff that happened to me when I was younger and about all the things, nostalgia that, you know, we may have shared. So thank you so much. Oh, check out my website, my blog, GabrielleCataldi.com. Everything on there is pretty much where it needs to be, other than like, you know, the front page needs to be redone a bit. There's areas that are blank or they have just like the placeholders. So disregard that. But all the like the blogs and my top 5 lists and stuff like that are on there, and the podcast, obviously. And also check out my YouTube channel, which has some other videos on there that are random that I'm like, you know, they're random, okay? And then they're all my podcasts. And then I'm going to have other videos that I want to start putting out on there. But I think that's something that I'm going to do after I get our cinema and controller a little bit up on there. I said I was going to have it. The episode that I'm releasing tomorrow, which is going to be the Blockbuster Night one, is I said like, oh, we're going to have it out in the week, which I'm hoping I will have it out this week for cinema and controller because we already recorded it. It's just me editing. And I'm new to, well, I'm not new, I'm semi-new with when it comes to like video editing. Very good at audio editing, but when it comes to video editing, I did a little bit. And so it might seem a little like choppy, but I'm doing it myself. So, hey. Okay, so thank you so much. Please check out all that. Give a like, follow, subscribe, YouTube, whatever. You don't have to do the, you don't have to do notification bell. It's like I said in the previous. I get enough notifications on my phone. I don't need YouTube to tell me as well that however many creators that I follow have put something up. I will check that out when I feel like it. So stop telling me. You don't have to do the notifications. Totally understand. But please subscribe and like. I appreciate it. And comment. I want to know your thoughts. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed. This has been That 80s Child, The Generation Y. And my name is Gabrielle. And I will be talking to you in the next one. Thank you so much for checking this out. I appreciate it. Bye.